And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, written by Joseph Mindell, is entitled There Is Always Purim, and is presented in celebration of the Festival of Purim.
There he is! The stage manager is coming out!
Today is Purim, children, da-da-dee-da-da.
Well, we're ready to begin. Ladies and gentlemen,
my dear maestro, if you don't mind.
Thank you, maestro. My dear children, ladies and gentlemen, the stage is set, the lights are down, it's time to introduce the players. First to appear, and first in our hearts, as good as she is beautiful, Esther.
My only desire is to serve my people.
And now, steadfast and strong, her uncle, Mordecai.
You'll find me at the gates when I am needed.
And, of course, there is King Ahasuerus.
Yes, laugh if you want to. A man is entitled to be himself, no matter what.
Finally, how would there be Purim if not for him whose villainy makes his very name Haman?
Go ahead. I'm used to it. Only why don't you wait and see? Even Haman, even I have a right to a hearing.
Please, everybody, please put away your groggers and your clappers.
But, Mr. Stage Manager, it's Purim.
I know, tradition is on your side. But how will you know what happens if you drown out his words every time Haman speaks? There, you've established the principle. Now no more noise. The curtain opens. The players take their places. The story begins. In the city of Shushan, in the days of Ahasuerus, who reigned from India even unto Ethiopia, over 127 provinces, in those days in Shushan, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, a Benjamite. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, for his own daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. The maiden was of beautiful form and fair to look on, and her countenance was radiant as the moon on a starless night. But on this day in Mordecai's house, there were tears in Esther's eyes.
What shall I do when the king's soldiers reach this house?
There is nothing you need do, Esther, except perhaps your hair. A little brushing, maybe.
I'll cut off my hair.
What's wrong, my dear?
Mordecai, I don't want to be queen.
Is that what it is?
I don't want to go to the palace with the king's soldiers.
Many a girl would be pleased at the opportunity.
Then let them go.
They will. The soldiers are gathering maidens from every province in the kingdom.
Mordecai, I don't want to be queen.
It may very well be that the king will not choose you.
Oh.
But if he does, my dear, sometimes things happen that we do not want. And sometimes they are for the best.
Help me, Mordecai. Please help me.
If that's what you want.
In the king's name, open up.
Coming, I'm coming. Hide yourself, Esther, quickly. Well, you don't have to break the door down.
Well, it took you long enough.
I'm sorry, I was busy.
You know why I'm here.
Yes, I know, the census. I have no children of my own.
Who lives here with you?
As I said, I'm a widower.
Mm-hmm. No maidens?
Why should I lie to you?
I suppose it would be foolish. Why would a man give up a chance to be the king's father-in-law?
Why, indeed?
All right, I'll make a note of it. The house of Mordecai. No maiden... What is this?
It's a sandal.
I can see that. Whose sandal is it?
Mine, of course.
Yours.
You're thinking that it is very small. I did not mean that I wear it, only that it belongs to me. It has a sentimental value.
Where is she?
You must not jump to conclusions.
Do I have to tear the walls down to find her?
Oh, here I am.
Well, for the trouble you've given me, I should... Well, you have a very pretty face, girl.
Try to reconcile yourself, Esther. You see how things happen.
I don't want it to happen to me.
Well, it doesn't matter what you want. Come along to the palace.
The king will be here in a very short time, girls. Listen to me very carefully. You two, stop fighting. Now listen. I'll give you some good advice. Don't pinch your cheeks or bite your lips to make them red. Don't pose like a statue. Don't wiggle and don't coquet. Just be natural. And let the king choose. Here he comes.
Stop those trumpets! Stop those... Oh, I can't take a step without trumpets.
Welcome, your majesty. Your loyal subjects...
Oh, never mind the formalities, Chamberlain. Get on with what has to be done.
I'm sorry to see that you're still irritable.
Yes, I'm sorry, too. But I've been irritable ever since Vashti compelled me to... Well, ever since Vashti's gone.
About the late Queen Vashti, I did warn you not to make a hasty decision.
I don't need a Chamberlain to give me warnings. Your duty is to keep me from doing things I'll be sorry
but...
Stop spluttering and let's begin.
Very well. Your Majesty,
mm-hmm.
Here before you are the most beautiful maidens in all the kingdom. Choose your wife and queen. This one, perhaps?
No.
Then this one.
Not this one or that one or the next. No, no, no. Send them all home, Chamberlain.
If you would only look more closely, Your Majesty.
I said send them home. Wait. That girl on the end. She hides her face. She turns her back. How graceful. How charming. How captivating. How... What nonsense! I won't say these lines. Stage manager, I will not say these lines.
Ladies and gentlemen, remain in your seats. Please, please be calm.
Ahasuerus, what's the matter with you?
I will not be laughed at unnecessarily.
But nobody's laughing at you.
Oh, no wonder everybody takes me for a fool. The lines you give me to say.
What's wrong with the lines?
What's wrong? This girl, look at her. She pulls her hair over her face, crosses her eyes, twists her body, and you want me to say, how graceful, how charming, how captivating.
And that makes you seem a fool?
Of course it does. Doesn't it?
An ordinary man would certainly think the girl plain, if not ugly. But you, Ahasuerus, you're able to see beneath the grimaces and distortions. Your keen perception detects the grace and beauty that cannot be hidden.
Hmm. Does? Well, I mean, when you put it that way, she is rather pretty.
The things a stage manager has to do.
You are, Esther. Beautiful, I mean.
Do I find favor in your majesty's eyes?
Give me your hand, Esther. Come, don't be shy. See, Chamberlain, how simply she stands. So graceful, so charming, so captivating, so...
I am unworthy, sire.
Modest. Well, what are you waiting for, Chamberlain? Order a feast. Send for the musicians.
Please, you must believe me, Your Majesty.
Your Majesty. Esther, my dear, is this how you address your loving husband?
And it came to pass that the king loved Esther above all the women, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen. And Mordecai came every day to sit in the gate of the palace to be of comfort to Esther if she needed comfort.
You are well, Esther? Esther?
Do you know what I was thinking, Mordecai? I was trying to remember my house. Your house, where I used to live.
Oh, it is not important to remember a house.
I have almost forgotten.
Are you unhappy, my dear?
Sometimes I'm a little lonely. But Ahasuerus is kind and very generous. Today he gave me 2 cities.
Oh, he must be very fond of you.
Do you think so? Then why do I see him so seldom?
You must remember that a king is very busy with affairs of state.
A king has chamberlains to do his work. That's the signal. I must go back.
May God go with you.
He will be here again tomorrow.
If you want me to, Esther.
I'm not afraid anymore. It's not on that account.
I'm glad, my dear.
It's because I don't want to forget you. And I don't want to forget my people.
Mordecai sat in the gate of the palace. And it happened that 2 courtiers came and stood close by and spoke together in secret tones.
Remember, there's no turning back once we decide.
I've decided. Ahasuerus must go.
Good. Then we'll get rid of him. Now, this is what we'll do.
Well, go on.
We're being spied upon. Look there.
There?
Hmm.
The Jew sitting in the gates of the palace.
He must have heard us.
What of it? Jews speak no language but their own.
All the same, I'll make sure.
You there! You've been eavesdropping.
What did I tell you? He doesn't understand a word.
I must tell Esther at once.
What did you say?
Lo amarti klum.
I don't trust him, I tell you.
Come on, we're wasting time. At this rate, Ahasuerus will die of old age.
So, you came directly to me, Esther. How touching.
It was my duty, sire. They plotted against the life of my king.
Oh. Your concern was only for the king.
Was that wrong, Your Majesty?
No, of course not. Esther, my sweet, could even a very small, a tiny portion have been for your husband?
A dutiful wife has thoughts always for her husband. Are you ill?
No, my dear. Only, you are so remarkably dutiful.
Chamberlain, I have come to a decision.
No, Your Majesty, not again. 2 queens...
What are you talking about? Oh, never mind, listen. I have been neglecting Esther.
Would you like me to find a suitable gift? Another city? Perhaps a whole province would be nice.
Ah, trifles. Besides, that's not what I mean. I have spent too little time with her. Of course, I've been so busy with... What have I been busy with, Chamberlain?
A king's time is not his own.
Oh, exactly. You put it so well. Therefore, I've decided to find someone to lighten my burden.
I see what is in your mind.
I'll make him prince over all the lords, second only to me.
And I approve, at the risk of seeming immodest.
I know just the man.
But modesty must give way to duty.
I want you to notify him at once.
You're
spluttering again.
But here I am. I mean, notify whom?
The man I've chosen. The son of Hamadatha the Agagite.
Ladies and gentlemen, please. Please, this is not an intermission. Maestro, please.
While the stagehands are changing the scenery, a little less noise back there. I must tell you about the son of Hamadatha, whose name, of course, was Haman. You promised. Thank you. Now, King Ahasuerus set Haman above all the princes. And the people in all the city of Shushan bowed down before Haman when he passed.
But when he walked in the gates of the palace, he saw one who remained erect, and Haman spoke unto him.
Good morning, Mordecai.
I will bow down to no... Stop that living and give me my cue.
It's an unusually fine morning,
what
isn't it?
What are you up to?
Now, you speak your lines, I'll take care of mine.
Stage manager, did you hear him?
Of course I heard. What's the meaning of this, Haman?
Now, don't get excited. My role can stand a little improvement.
What are you saying? The words are written. The action is determined.
Well, still, just consider. You expect me to order Mordecai to bow down before me, before Haman, second only to the king.
I will not do it.
Well, naturally not. You're a Jew. You bow down only to God. Therefore, I will not insist.
You see, stage manager, how he twists and turns and falsifies like the devil himself.
Haman, you can't change your character.
I have no desire to do so, but I'm not a fool. If Mordecai should this instant throw himself at my feet...
Never.
Well, all right, then. What's the use of growing red in the face and making angry threats?
No use at all.
Oh, all right. I will only tell you, Mordecai, that you will live long enough to know regret.
I am not frightened, Haman.
And perhaps not only you, perhaps many people, your people, will regret your stubbornness. Your Majesty, I need the benefit of your wisdom.
Well, that's a very nice thing to say, Haman.
Suppose a king's subjects do not give the respect due him. What then?
Oh, he must insist on it, yes. I haven't noticed any lack of respect to my person.
Do I not represent your person?
Oh, you're a sly one. I have heard the stories that are going around Shushan.
This is no laughing matter, Your Majesty.
Oh, don't be so touchy.
If the Jews fail to pay the proper respect,
well, they
it is because they have
taxes.
Their own customs, their own laws, different from your laws, and that is a great danger.
Do you really think so? Well, then we must explain to them. I'm a great believer in education, Haman.
I have spoken to them, sire, with great forbearance.
Then you must speak to them again.
There comes a time when a king, like a teacher or a father, must go beyond words and chastise his children.
You make it sound very educational, Haman. What do you have in mind,
I have taken the liberty of preparing a decree which you may want to glance over.
Oh, you're very helpful, Haman. To the governors of all the provinces, to the princes over the people, let it be known that I, Haman, Ahasuerus. Haman, don't you think this is rather drastic?
To protect his kingdom, a ruler must sometimes take drastic steps.
Yes, I suppose you're right.
Besides, you haven't read the last paragraph in which I offer to pay 10,000 talents of silver into the royal treasury.
Do you really? Oh, you are a great help to me, Haman.
Now, in every province in the kingdom, whithersoever the king's decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing. Mordecai, in sackcloth and ashes, came to the gates of the palace to tell Esther how Haman had bought the Jews, to destroy them utterly, young and old. And when he told her that she must go to the king for the sake of her people, she said unto him, Where is Esther? Why isn't she on the stage?
She's in her dressing room, Mr. Stage Manager.
What's she doing there? She opens the scene.
Well, she says she doesn't care. She says she won't come out.
I order her to come out. I have some authority.
I want you to understand. I'm not a bit angry.
Oh, you're not.
I don't mind acting the pretty young thing who doesn't know her own mind, if that's what you want.
It's not what I
but
want,
but beyond
counts.
A certain point, I will not go.
You must go on.
You must, Esther, my dear, for the sake of your people.
I'm willing, Mordecai, but he wants me to say, no, I will not go to the king uncalled, because he may put me to death on account of a foolish law. I refuse to act in so shallow and selfish a manner.
Still, if you go to the king, you do risk your life.
What of it? Shall I be safe when you are threatened with destruction?
Then what I ask you to do, it is no little thing.
I do it gladly, Mordecai. For you. For my people. The signal again.
Wait, Esther.
I must go now, Mordecai.
Then go. And God go with you. Your people will remember you, Esther, as one who was not afraid.
But I am afraid a little. It is a foolish law, but nevertheless a law. Yet Ahasuerus has said that he loves me.
I do, my sweet Esther. You know I do.
How can I be sure, Your Majesty?
Well, ask whatever you desire and you shall have it.
Anything, Your Majesty?
Even to half of my kingdom.
I ask something more. The life of Mordecai, who sits in the palace gates.
Mordecai? Oh, yes, yes, of course, Mordecai. No doubt you think the foolish king has forgotten him.
He is the man who said...
Well, perhaps I had forgotten, until I read in my court chronicles how he discovered the plot against me and saved my life. Who dares to threaten Mordecai?
Your second in command, the wicked Haman.
Is this how you treat the king's friend, Haman?
Your Majesty, Mordecai is the leader of the Jews who follow their own laws and defy your authority.
Now, don't change the subject. You will clothe Mordecai in royal garments and pay him the highest honors of the kingdom.
But why
am I afflicted with spluttering chamberlains? Now, do as I say. There now, Esther. I see you're still unhappy.
Because of Haman. Because of his decree against Mordecai's people.
The queen has a tender heart, Your Majesty. She need not concern herself about a strange nation.
Mordecai's people are my people.
Well, why didn't you tell me, my dear? You and your decrees, Haman.
It's a simple matter, sire. It is only necessary to declare Queen Esther, shall we say, an honorary Persian?
My heart is a Jewish heart. Will you change that, too?
Now, don't upset yourself, Esther, my dear. Haman, you've gone too far.
But your royal king sealed the decree.
Now stick to the point, Haman, which is clearly that you have done evil and must be punished. Mordecai!
I am here, Your Majesty.
Oh, yes, so you are. Well, yes, yes. I set you in Haman's place as prince over all the lords of the kingdom.
Oh, no. It isn't necessary. As a matter of fact, my God...
I insist, Mordecai.
Then I am honored, sire.
As your first official act, you will see that Haman is hanged to the gallows he built for you.
Perhaps I am not sufficiently bloodthirsty to be a prime minister. I was about to suggest that exile...
Oh, no, no. His fate must serve as a lesson and a warning to evil Hamans of the future.
Is the lesson that evil is punished, Your Majesty? Is it not rather that good is preserved?
It's an interesting question, Mordecai. We must discuss it someday. But for now, I am pleased that everything ends so well.
In the name of my people, I thank Your Majesty.
That is for His Majesty the King, my lovely Esther. Now, what words do you have for your husband?
I am very happy, Ahasuerus.
Forum children, da-da-dee-dee-da-da. A lovely day, a lovely story. And this is the end. Let the music play, let us dance and sing, for it is a happy end. And if, my dear people, there should sometime arise another Haman, do not despair. Only remember this, there is always Purim.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mrs. Anita Levison, prominent civic leader of Winnetka, Illinois. Mrs. Levison.
The long calendar of Jewish history, stretching from the destruction of the temple to the annihilation of 6 million Jews in our day, provides few occasions for celebration. The festival of Purim is unique. The miraculous deliverance which it celebrates was accomplished by a woman called Esther or Hadassah. This narrative of rescue and survival is, says the Babylonian Talmud, to be read in order to commemorate the miracle of Purim. and Josephus describes Purim as shared joy and banquetry and holiday. Many touching examples of special Purim celebrations abound in Jewish history. Whenever calamity was averted and a miraculous deliverance achieved, a special Purim of gratulation and exaltation was declared in honor of the place and the event. So in the year 1236, when the life of Rabbi Meir of Narbonne was placed in jeopardy and his library looted, tragedy was averted and the rabbi and his followers were spared and the library restored, and the Purim of Narbonne was instituted. Other Purims marked miracles and were established at Chios, Ancona, Vilna, Cairo. Perhaps the day will come when the Jews of America will celebrate Purim of America to mark the hour of history when exile or extermination was the choice of the Jews of Europe. Then, miracle of miracles, America was discovered in 1492, and a place of refuge was opened up for the exiled Jews of Europe. The finding of a vast, fertile, hitherto unknown hemisphere was surely an act of God, an authentic miracle. In the succeeding centuries, America became a haven for the tired, the poor, the huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Sanctuary and deliverance and opportunity were here. Here was a sacred, ineffable moment of history, a deliverance worthy of commemoration as Purim America.
Thank you, Mrs. Levison. Our Eternal Light drama today, There Is Always Purim, was written by Joseph Mendel and is presented in celebration of the Festival of Purim. Cantor Robert Siegel signed the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Ruth Last, Leon Janney, Ralph Bell, Louis Soren, John Larkin, Guy Repp, Santos Ortega, and Roger DeCoven. The music was written by Morris Momorski and conducted by Roy Shields. This has been an NBC Radio Network production directed by Daniel Sutter. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America.
This is the NBC Radio Network.